Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Close the interception.
Touchdown, Giants.
Quest Diagnostics Training Center in East Rutherford, New Jersey. I'm Paul Dottino. He is Howard Cross. And we'll be taking your phone calls, your questions, your comments regarding the Giants. They're playing the Miami Dolphins in Florida on Monday Night Football. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. That's our phone number. Or if you're a little shy, a little bashful, you want to go to Twitter instead, hit us up at hashtag Giants Chat. My handle is at GiantsWFAN. He is at HowardCross87. You could also get us there during the course of the week if you prefer as well. In any event, the Giants are in a three-way tie for first place with the Washington Redskins and Philadelphia Eagles, but you folks already knew that. That's kind of old news. What is new news is what's going on the practice field. Giants just went out with Coach Tom Coughlin just a short time ago. We know that Eric Flowers is not working today on that sprained ankle. Coach says he would like to get him to do some work tomorrow, so his status for the Miami game is in doubt. Okay. Justin Pugh, the likely candidate to play left tackle, should Flowers not be able to go. Pugh, of course, came in to play left tackle the other day against the Jets. Also played left tackle in Week 3 against the Redskins when Flowers' ankle made him unavailable, Howard. Also, Devon Kennard, still out with a hamstring at a foot, will not practice today. Limited practice, sore knee for Brandon Merriweather, and limited practice also, bad back, Marshall Newhouse. He did not play last week. It was Bobby Hart, the seventh-round pick out of Florida State, with 37 career starts for the Seminoles. Giants took him there, liking his size, liking the fact he played against good competition, liking the fact that he was a starter for 4 years. And lo and behold, Bobby Hart's getting some snaps here that are very important to this team.
You know what? Bobby Hart played against some NFL-type players in his career at Florida State.
And he's come to the NFL and test that out.
You know, all you want when you're a player is a chance or an opportunity. You want him to have that chance to get on the field. He's getting his spot. I like it.
Yeah, he's played some guard and some tackle since mm-hmm. the Giants have had him activated this season as a rookie. One thing to note about Kennard, last week they decided to start Mark Herzlich, not Jonathan Casillas. Mm-hmm. I guess they were more concerned about Ivory and the Jets' power running game, and Herzlich obviously being more of a run stopper at linebacker. I don't know how they would go this week with the Dolphins because, quite frankly, the Dolphins, a little bit of a mixture of both. A little bit of run, a little bit of pass. They don't have one overwhelming facet on offense.
Well, yeah, but Dan Campbell is trying his best to get this team to, for no better terms, run the ball and be more physical. The world's changed a lot with the way they practice and the way you're able to do things. So trying to walk in a new philosophy, a new way of thinking, a new way of doing things when you're unable to practice it, it's a little tough.
This is a great opportunity for you folks to understand a little bit about Dan Campbell because Howard Cross was a teammate of Dan Campbell. Who, by the way, Dan played, as you guys know. He came to the Giants, drafted out of Texas A&M in 1999, was on the Super Bowl 35 team that played against the Baltimore Ravens, subsequently played for the Lions for a little while, had a 10-year career in the NFL, mm-hmm. Coached under Bill Parcells, mm-hmm. coached under Marinelli as well, one of the other guys he calls his, one of his key influences. So, Howard, give us a flavor in your mind as to what Dan Campbell brings to the table as a head coach of this team.
Well, Dan's learning mostly and young. He got the job of coach after Coach Feldman got asked to leave. Then they looked around the room and said, let's see who's the kind of guy that we want. Campbell is the guy who's, you know, would not have been campaigning for the job, but he's the guy that probably had the most energy and it was fired up. And they're like, you're our guy. And he's like, yeah, okay, great. So he gets to go in the room, and then Dan has to figure it all out as he goes. I think that would be a tough call for anybody, but he's doing a good job. He has a message to deliver. He delivers his message, and then he talks about how we're going to get that message done. So that's what you're trying to do as a head coach. And there's a lot more that goes on with it, scheduling, putting things together, making sure your players, dealing with the media, having people like us harass you. But the part that he did from his playing days of understanding the message, delivering the message, and then trying to execute it, that's what he's doing right now. And that's all you can ask him to do.
Now, they have, unfortunately for the Dolphins, lost four of their last six, and they are 5-7, kind of falling out of the wild card race a little bit in the AFC, which is a little more competitive than the NFC right now these days. But Dan Campbell, the guy who I remember, Howard, mm-hmm. he was humble, mm-hmm. he was modest, he was a hard worker, blue-collar, lunch pail kind of guy, mm-hmm. who just enjoyed the game and was, you see what you get with him. There's no mm-hmm. facade.
And that's the same person you see now coaching. I love his press conferences and he's holding on to the podium. He's got his. I'm telling you, it's a big ask to be in that position. And I think he's doing a noble job. I think, you know, again, when guys were that far away from competing and being there, and to get them to, you know, to light a fire a little bit in them, to get them going, that's all the stuff you want.
All right, so 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513 is our phone number here at Big Blue Kickoff Live. Again, it's Monday night down in Miami. Giants don't play these, you know, AFC teams except once every 4 years with the rotation, Howard. Mm-hmm. But there AFCs. Are mm-hmm. right, there are a few guys, though, like Shane Vereen, mm-hmm. obviously, even Jonathan Casillas.
Yeah.
Perhaps even Robert Ayers, being in the AFC, might have seen – some of these guys, maybe, a little bit more than some of the others. But how different is it when the offensive coordinator changes? Like last week, Zach Taylor took over as the new offensive coordinator. Do you think there's anything besides trying to run the ball more that they can do differently now that, you know, the season's already so in?
I'm telling you, Detroit, the Dolphins, other teams that have fired coaches late, and I don't mean coaches, coordinators. There is a communication thing that goes on that you got to think about. You got to be able to communicate the plays and know what everybody's thinking. There is a terminology thing you got to think about. Is all the terminology the same? I remember when Dan Reeves came to the Giants, mm-hmm. he had the numbering system backwards. That's how he always called it. And I thought that was the oddest thing. But he says, well, I'll switch my whole offense to, you know, suit you guys since you're used to doing it the opposite way. I'm like, what's he talking about? So, you know, that's the kind of thing that you got to think about, and that's what Dan's group is dealing with. You're dealing with, all right, offensive coordinator, you're terrible. We're getting a new guy in here tomorrow. Boom. How does that guy take those plans? Well, I would never do that. Well, now you got the rest of the year to do that. You can't teach something new overnight because you got to learn. You're not just teaching plays and techniques and formations and all this stuff, but you're teaching it versus someone who's looking to come in and play against you.
Yeah. About the only thing we do know is that Lamar Miller did have 20 carries last week, a season high against mm-hmm. Baltimore, mm-hmm. and had his third 100-yard game. Fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Line one, Chris from Syracuse, you're first.
Syracuse.
Hello. Hey, how you guys doing?
Pretty good
to talk to you.
Hey, there was just a couple of things that I was thinking about here with the game coming up and kind of ties into what's been going on, especially like in the red zone. We were talking earlier in the week on the show, saying kind of like, well, what's happened with the red zone offense? And there's two things that I realize or have recognized. Last year, I mean, you could bet money we were going to throw a fade route when we got down there, and it's like we've hardly even seen that at all. And it was pretty effective, even though it was kind of predictable. And this year we kind of gotten away from it, but I'm maybe mm-hmm. thinking, you know, we got Nick's back. I'm hoping maybe we try that. And another thing that I was hoping that we would see, you know, you line up big there on the goal line and you put Andre Williams in there, and I just know that he's going to get stuffed. I don't understand. Why don't we pitch it? Why don't we try a toss, do something? I mean, as soon as we see Williams in the game, they know he's going to try to run it right up the middle, and we just can't seem to get a push. It's kind of frustrating.
You know, one thing the Giants did do differently, Mark Herzlich was the third tight end on a few plays the other day.
Yeah,
did you see that?
In there a couple times. Yeah, well, to answer your question, the thing to think about this, if you're getting penetration up the middle in a play and you're getting stopped on the goal line, then if you pitch it and there's penetration, the ball's even going further back. Okay. And then the other thing you have to think about is I teach my son this. And like he plays – sometimes he plays D tackle, sometimes he plays defensive end. I'm like, if you notice a short yardage play and you know they're going to pitch the ball, if you get penetration, you can disrupt the pitch. Like you can almost catch the ball when they're pitching it outside. I'm like, they hit the back in the backfield, the ball's in the air. And it's just not a joke.
You're right.
If the ball's in the air, you know, it's a short yard. You're trying to get the ball in your hand, and you're trying to get that 1 yard to press or half a yard. If the ball's in the air and your eyes are on the ball and someone's coming free, that's an opportunity for a fumble. So your theory is that you want to, for no better term, A to B, the shortest distance. You want to take the shortest distance to get it, and you need one block to make that happen. Now, when guys are they're rushing the A gaps, they try to put more guys in the line than you have blockers, it becomes a tough moment. Now, again, if they're afraid you're going to throw the ball when you step up, they can't rush the A gaps. If they're afraid you're going to do something, you know, throw the fade, they can't rush the A gaps. But when your options are limited and you've been stopped so many times trying it, then they can, you know, let's overload them and force them to do whatever they're going to do because we have a shot.
And I think the other thing, in addition, everything Howard said is 95% of the reason, but the other small percentage too is unless you have a scat back, a halfback who has incredible quickness and speed.
Won't matter.
You know, forget it.
Penetration is penetration. You have to be, like right now, you know, from the tight end, from the tackle out, tight end, whoever's out there, you know, you're trying to, you're on a, I think Donnell's been out, like, you know, Fells, God bless his souls, out. You got all these guys coming in and you're trying to all of a sudden want them to be something physical on the edge. You're not able to coach that up. You're not able to go, all right, we're going to do a, like we used to do live goal line, live short yards goal line. That was our Friday practice. Was live short yards
well,
to go
there was
line.
Contact involved. Oh, you yeah, can't it, do that now.
It was a physical, physical thing. And short yards and goal line was never a pass. It was like, okay, three tight ends, we're going right. Three tight ends are going left. This is how we're going to do it. Now you got to find guys that are able to functionally happen because if I'm a defensive guy, I get low, I launch across the ball, and I just try to mess the play up. And that's what's happening.
The only thing I would say to you, the jumbo formation, the Giants haven't used so much. It goes back about 3 years ago. They used Deal a little bit as that extra tight end a little bit. Since then, they haven't really gone with that style.
Well, the other thing is you got to think about this. How many linemen do they have left?
Right. This is attrition.
Not to be funny or anything, but
no, there's attrition
when you start looking around like, okay, we got six linemen today or we got five and a half linemen today because we don't know how your ankle's going to hold up. Oh, we got seven, but his knee's going, his ankle's going, so you really have five? You can't risk putting another guy out there to have Andre Williams or Darquhar or Big Jennings to run into the back of that guy and all of a sudden he's out. You're down one more lineman. I mean, this is a crazy time of the year, and it's not just the Giants. It happens to a lot of teams.
Chris, thank you. Appreciate the
phone
call.
Yep.
Rick from Tampa. You're next on the show. Hello.
Man, I hope he's playing
golf.
Guys. Hey,
how
Rick. How we doing?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm doing much in my car. It's nice and about 80 degrees, so I'm enjoying
today
down in here, Florida. You know,
we'll catch you on Monday, me and Howard. We'll be down there, but we're not washing your car.
Right. Listen, I'm on an island down here, and, you know, after a game, especially last week or the week before, I have no one. It's hard to get in on the show, calling from Tampa on after the post game and everything. So I have nowhere to vent. It's really tough. So I call you guys a lot here. I get a chance to come in and talk to you guys. I appreciate that. But you know, going back, and that's why I wanted to make the point. I think going back to the Washington game, and I love Tom Coughlin. I love his tenure here. But you know, the play of the words of his name, Coughlin. He's going to be in the coffin for his coaching. I think it started with the Redskins game because there's no way, especially after seeing the way they played against the Cowboys, that to have the team come out after a bye and play that way when the game meant so much, I hold a lot on the coach. And then last week, I mean, come on, up 20-10, and then when they're down his fourth goal and two, to kick the field goal again. I know you can maybe argue back and forth a little bit on that, but up 13, they weren't moving the ball all day, the Jets. And, you know, maybe, you know, they did at the end, but you don't expect that. You can't think the negative. They weren't moving it all day long. So to go up 13 points with our history of ineptness in the fourth quarter and take the two, try to get two touchdowns against us. I hold against the coach because that's just stupidity. We can't not kick the field goal there. And I just think that those two things, not being prepared for the Washington game and that call at the end of the game, whether it's McAdoo or Coach Coughlin, whoever's in charge of that, cost us those games. And I think that's just too much to keep the job because, I mean, unless, hey.
Well,
if,
let's do
if
this,
we beat
Rick.
Carolina, we beat Carolina, Minnesota. All right.
Yeah, but Rick, hold on, Rick. If I fire the coach tonight, would it change things?
No, not tonight.
I know, but
no,
if I
no,
did,
at
would
the
it,
end of the year,
but
yeah.
But,
yeah.
But it, anyway, would it change things?
Yeah.
Would it make any of the players better players?
No.
No. Okay, so you're dealing with, like, when I played, I never took a lot of the coach speak on with fans, and they would talk about different coaches because I played through a few of them. I thought it was funny. As long as I did my job, as long as I was, you know, consistent in what I was doing, I had a chance to win personally. So, you know, winning personally, then winning as a team comes about. If you go into a game, you got to play at your best at all times. The coach can tell you whatever he wants to tell you. Players still have to play. And I know that people want you to believe that coaches have, like, scheme sometimes helps you out, but players have to play. They have to show up. Look, we were using Dan Campbell. Look at Dan Campbell down in Miami. They fired Feldman in 2 weeks in a row. They play tough. They play against bad teams. But they play tough. They play tougher. And everybody's like, man, these players, they're playing hard for him. That's not really how it really works. The reality of it is you got to show up as a player. You know, you can coach them up. You can put them in position. There's got to be some execution. Like, players players are responsible for it. Like, we've said this weeks ago. We said this, and people were trying to fit, match, bring guys in, do something like, yo, you got what you got. You got to hope that they're going to get it. As far as kicking a field goal goes, I have no idea if they were going to stop them. I have no idea.
But
I can understand.
They were stopping them. I mean, the players actually were doing their part prior to that game. We're up by 10 points. I mean,
well,
how much more can you ask for with our team?
Again, talk about that, but you talk about that, it was like a game where nobody was doing really anything.
Right.
He went for the ideal that, you know, the last part of the game – I think they said five games in the last 75 seconds the Giants have had this issue. So he's trying to eliminate the 75 seconds. He's playing on history. He's not playing from what
you
fans
think
would be thinking.
It was, really?
Oh,
you
I absolutely
thought that. They thought, you know what, we go up by two touchdowns or 13 points, that our defense, Spags, is going to say, you know what, let's give up two touchdowns.
No, I don't think he thinks he wants to give it up. I think he's looking at history. What we do in the league and what we do when we play is that we watch tendencies. Now, you can do anything you want to, but if it's on film, it's on film. And on film, he's watching his own film. And it's on film, he's like, I don't know why this guy didn't make the play. And the guys were in the right positions. I don't know why he didn't catch the interception. I don't know why. How did this guy catch the ball? It's a lot of how-to, why-tos. So when you get to that point, and again, not telling you he did the right thing or wrong thing, you start to make decisions trying to figure out what's the best chance to give us a victory. Extend the lead. Let's get a victory.
And just remember, part of his equation as he was putting all these things into the formula that he was trying to come up with in his head is the fact that the Giants have not shown a power running game that can milk the clock in a four-minute attack. So he's figuring.
That's great, but also his tackle just went down.
Right.
He just reshuffled the line.
Exactly.
So if he gets the ball back, they're pinning their ears back. They're coming after you.
Sure.
So you got a lot of – there's a lot of moving parts of what happened.
A lot.
I had this conversation with a buddy of mine this morning. Okay. He's going over it. I'm like, so tell me what happens when – your tackle goes down, this guy goes down, all these things were happening. You have one chance to put them away.
Yeah.
Do you kick the field goal or do you put them away?
All right, my friend, we got to run. I got other guys
question.
On the line. But
absolutely.
Thank you so much for calling us, and we
thank
appreciate you. Give us a call back again another time, 201-939-4513. I want to get to these other calls who are on hold, but I also want to get to a couple of the Twitter remarks. I know sometimes folks say that we don't get to enough of those, so I do want to do that. We have one gentleman here, New York Giants Now, says, people saying Coughlin should be fired are crazy. Do we really want Eli at 35 having to learn a new system again? Well, you know what? Eli Manning has had one head coach his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa. That head coach has had one quarterback during his Giants career.
Yep.
And those two guys have certainly been through a lot together.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I don't know about the whole firing or all that stuff. That's not my world or anything. I just know that you got to keep going with what you got. You're in first place. You still have a chance. Keep fighting. Don't. If people were to listen to us and all the other prognosticators and all the other fans, they would just, we could shut the door.
AJ Marshall says, I hope Eric Flowers suits up so I don't have to see Justin Pugh at left tackle. He's not usually a good tackle.
No, that's not true. He played decent tackle when he played. He, you know, under the circumstances he had with a banged up, lacking offensive line, he did pretty good at left tackle.
I would second what Howard just said, AJ. I think he's done a very, very adequate job, and I don't think you really should be worried so much about Justin Pugh. That would be my opinion as well. Will Ruiz NYG says TC's over here doing jumping jacks at the Giants presser. Certainly impressed with his energy and enthusiasm.
I wish I could do jumping jacks with these bad knees, man. I'm telling you.
Here's an interesting comment from Melee Mai. Says, what happened to all the different run formations we showed in the preseason? We can definitely run plays with Vereen and Jennings. Understand the preseason is the preseason.
Yeah, it's preseason, definitely preseason. I think, you know, some of the stuff is you got to get some kind of continuity. I don't say who should be running the ball. There's a running back kind of by committee on the team. A lot of different guys touch it. I don't know which guy's the best guy. Some people say Darqua. Some people say Jennings. Unfortunately for Williams, a lot of people don't say Williams. Some people say Vereen should be running the ball every down. I just think that there's a combination there somewhere as they keep trying to find it. I may would go with one guy. I don't know.
You know what, Howard? I just want to say one thing to all of the Williams detractors out there. And let me just preface this by saying I like the player. I watched his Boston College cut-ups. Mm-hmm. I thought it was an outstanding pick. Everybody who knows me knows I thought he'd be a great fourth-round pick for the Giants and mm-hmm. hit it head-on. Mm-hmm. Did you watch what he did last December? Now, I know it was against the Marshall-Rans, and they were playing the season out. But the guy's ability and the guy's talent, if you don't have it, you don't have it. You saw last December, when there was room there to run, he was a very productive back.
Yeah, but, you know, I understand after watching.
So he's got something.
My guy Richardson from Alabama, sometimes you need to understand. Like, I think if he follows the blocks from the standpoint of not, he's not following the blocks, but follows, tries to hit the crease because he's not as big as you think he is. I think with the power he has, he becomes more explosive. I don't know, you know, looking at the schemes, if someone's getting beat and getting into the backfield, I don't know if he has that. I'm going to make you miss and go. It's kind of like McCoy
right.
and Murray.
Right.
You know, McCoy's in Philly. He makes the first guy miss. He can make a move. He's gone. Murray's kind of a downhill runner. I see him more of a Murray guy
right.
than a McCoy guy. He's more of a downhill runner. And we see how downhill's running is working for Murray in Philly. It's just not working.
Exactly. Those yeah. kinds of guys can't create as much on their own when they get the ball.
Yeah, when you get the ball, you're more creative. That's an interesting thing.
All right, let me give you one more here. Rob Hines Jr. says, huge difference between this Giants team versus past teams that made the playoff runs. He says vocal team leaders have won in the playoffs. Well, I would prefer to say production wins and get you to the playoffs more than vocal.
I think you're talking about like the Michael Strahan a few years ago. Then after that, you had other players. So let's just start with Michael. Michael is a Hall of Famer. So
yeah.
I think him making plays off of the field kind of backs up the screaming and yelling. And then after that, you had Untrell Roll, Pro Bowler.
Tuck went to Pro Bowls.
OC, yeah, Pro Bowler.
Antonio Pierce went to Pro Bowls.
You get all these Pro Bowlers telling guys, let's go get after it. It kind of makes it, you know, it may be vocal, but the vocal guys are making a lot of plays. So yeah. that's kind of where that comes from.
Okay, 201-939-4513. We cleared out the Twitter slate. So, folks, just want to let you know we do try to get to them when we can. And AJ from South Carolina, you're next up on the show. Hello.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
No problem.
The Giants, they have to, get the running game going. I mean, like, came a lot on the pass game a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they would love to get their running game going. I think every team in the league would like to establish a running game, but it's not as it becomes. I think what's going to happen in the next few years, like when you saw them take the St. Louis take the risk on Todd Gurley with the injury,
right?
I think more and more teams are looking for that home run back. You know, they devalued the back in the offense, saying that, you know, we need to focus more on the quarterbacks and the receivers, the pass rushers, the DBs, and they kind of devalued the back over the last few years. I think the idea that if you can get a back that's a home run hitter, a guy that's going to be great between the tackles, really good on the edge, he's going to become that guy. I mean, that's what happened in Pittsburgh.
Sure.
They got a great back. And now the back that's the backup is a really good back. So I think that's going to come back a little bit.
I really like Dapple because I think he play better than the other backs.
Yeah.
Orleans Darkwa.
Orleans Darkwa is doing a good job of a different running style. You have three backs, three different running styles. Orleans Darkwa is kind of the mix of all three guys. And I think that's kind of where he comes in, where he's getting his
success.
You're
talking about Jennings and Williams, but not Vereen?
All four of them. All three of them, because he's like the back that wasn't – he really wasn't going to be the runner. So, you know, you got Jennings, you got Vereen, you got Williams, you got this power guy who has – you know, seems like he has the eyes of the older guy in Jennings, and he can catch the ball.
Yeah.
Out of the backfield, like Vereen. So you got a guy that's kind of doing all three. It's just how they're going to fit him into the mix and how much burn is he going to get. So that's what I'm saying.
One of the things Coach said earlier today on the press conference when quizzed again about the four running back system, mm-hmm. is that sometimes the guy who's in there is relevant in the pass protection situation, and sometimes that makes the decision for him as to who's in the game.
Well, more than the pass situation, you have to remember that certain guys are more prone to be receivers catching the ball, like Green. So they play a different, you know, coverage. They play a different formation. A guy that comes in more like Williams, who is predominantly a runner, they squeeze up trying to prevent the run.
Yep.
So, you know, that's where Jennings and Darkwa kind of come into this. Well, they do a little bit of both. So guys have to back up and be on guard. The player and the formation kind of dictates what you're going to get up front.
Thank you so much for the call, AJ. Have a great weekend.
Take my call.
Sure thing.
Bye-bye.
Jeff from New Hampshire, you're next on the program. Hello.
How are we doing, guys?
Good.
Very good.
Hey, I just had to comment on the guy second-guessing Coughlin, because obviously we've been hearing that a lot ever mm-hmm. since the game. And I just can't stand the Monday morning quarterback second-guessing thing, because if he kicks the field goal, we're up by 13, the Jets score two touchdowns and win by a point. Everybody's calling in all week saying, what an idiot for kicking the field goal. Why the hell didn't he go for a touchdown? You know, I mean, you know that's how it is.
That's always
course,
how it is.
Of course.
So overreaction
the
Mondays.
The hindsight is ridiculous. And like you guys kind of pointed out, how many leads have we had that we've blown? We don't have a defense you can trust. I would have gone for the touchdown, too.
You know, I'm just going to make it simple for you.
Lead with this defense and two-minute offense.
With about 9 minutes to go, I am sure that Coach Coughlin was trying to figure out the numbers and the possessions and the points and everything else. And as I said to Howard a minute ago, the Giants don't have that four-minute grinded-out offense. They don't have it. They haven't shown it all
Not
season
all.
Long. So if you're Coach Coughlin, you're thinking to yourself, okay, let's see, how many minutes – how many points? How many times are the Jets going to touch the ball?
I'm glad he's doing this because my son's doing algebra right now as a freshman, and this is great. I should just record this and send it to him.
And I'm going to tell you, you know what? With 9 minutes to go, I can bet you bottom dollar Coach Coughlin figured, you know, the Jets are at least going to get two chances to touch the ball.
X parentheses plus minus zero.
Exactly. And the way that the Giants defense at the end of games has been gassed, and as he said, offensive line is messed up right now. They're doing the best they can with what they have. They've been on the field defensively much too long. It was 30, how many minutes?
Yes, yeah, but everybody, it was a lot of time. Everybody has issues. I want you to know. Everybody has issues. There are no excuses.
Oh, sure, but those are the things that he was
But at the end of the game, you're trying to think, okay, if there's a chance we can't stop them, let's put it up beyond two touchdowns.
Finish the game.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Go up by three scores because the Jets are probably not going to get three possessions.
That's true.
Conventional wisdom is all fine and good, but you have to look at the team you have. We had a running game and a defense. Of course you take the field goal. But he knows.
But you don't.
We just don't have that this year.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go.
You might be the right call. And this is my thing with Coughlin. I love the coach. I love Coughlin. And I don't blame him for the issues we're having. the amount of injuries, the amount of unproductive, I mean, good players, high draft picks that aren't performing, that are dropping passes, not getting open. I can't blame Coughlin for that stuff. I just can't. And if we miss the playoffs, the season's not over. We still have a chance, but we don't control our own destiny anymore. We need some help now. So it's not a great chance we make the playoffs. It could happen. If we miss the playoffs this year, it'll be 4 years in a row. We haven't missed the playoffs 4 years in a row since we drafted Lawrence Taylor in 1981.
I hear you, Jeff.
That's
35 years without a four-year drought. We've got a three-year drought, and it led to a coach getting fired after Reeves got us to the playoffs in 93. We missed three in a row. He was gone. Mm-hmm. We've had a three-year drought here. We've never had a four-year drought in that stretch. That's a long time. Our proud ownership and our proud friend, I don't think they're going to go 4 years without the playoffs without making some kind of serious change. And I don't think Coughlin deserves to be fired. He deserves better than what the players are giving him. He deserves to leave on his own terms. You know, it's not often that a coach can win a Super Bowl in his last year and go out, you know, with the storybook ending. He deserves a better ending.
Jeff, we
at least got to give him something, and it's a shame if this is the way it ends.
I appreciate your call. I appreciate your sentiments, and I appreciate your logical approach to the situation, but don't be writing off Coach Coughlin yet. How do you know the Giants won't win four games in a row, beat 9-7, and make the playoffs?
But he said that there, you know, that there's a good chance they could win. It's just, you know.
Thank you.
It's a lot more. Thank you, Jeff. There's a lot more speculation out there. I think there are more teams with more issues than the Giants. I think that, you know, Coach Coughlin will give it his best shot and keep the guys fighting.
By the way, Howard, I had a GM many years ago say to me, you know, any experienced offensive or defensive coordinator can draw up the perfect game plan to face his opponent on Sunday. Mm-hmm. That's not that hard to do. They can figure those things out. These guys are smart enough. They're experienced enough. They're intelligent enough. They know the game. The trick is, how do you pull that off with the guys you have available that week? Whether it's the roster, which may or may not have enough talent on it, or it's injuries, which may have depleted that roster, which now makes it incredibly difficult for you to pull off what you might think is the perfect game plan to win. So now you have to make all of those kinds of adjustments and all those kinds of scheming types of things to get the result that you're after, even though you may know that you can't follow the blueprint perfectly.
I think it's – I like that. I think it's even more than that. I think it's, you know, trying to – as a head coach, a lot of guys are great coordinators. They're not great head coaches. And the reason why they're not great head coaches is because they weren't ready to deal with the ideal of coaching. Calling plays is not coaching. Calling plays is strategizing.
Right.
Coaching is – getting guys in the right place, making them understand and get the commitment to buy in 100%. Coaching is getting guys, the guy who thinks he should get the ball every time, to buy into to the system and want to, you know, want to play with guys. Coaching is getting that guy that you know can't do something to be able to anticipate things, to put himself in position to make plays. Coaching is, you know, getting all your guys, handling the media, being the CEO kind of that of your division of the company and working with it. That's coaching. The thing is that when you're dealing with the entire season, everything that you do, the good, the bad, and whatever, people are talking about it.
Sure.
The next day, if Coach Coughlin throws it, if they call that play, Eli hits Randall, they score a touchdown to go in, Coach Coughlin is the most brilliant man on the planet. Somebody will call in and say that he should have kicked the field goal.
Of course.
You know, so it's every time you make a decision, if the decision goes in your favor, you're right. If the decision goes against you, you're not wrong. You're an idiot. So that's kind of how it is. I tell my kids, you can save 1,000 lives, 1,000,000 lives, 100 million lives. You're a lifesaver. If you're a jerk one time, you're a jerk for life. And that's kind of how they treat things. It's a hard spot to be in.
Fans, remember, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. A couple more Twitter remarks I want to get to. We have here Jamie Gastula McCost. I hope I said that right. Says, let's face it, our pros, Eli and his game. Our cons, some of the coach's decisions. That's the reality. He says, hi from Mexico, so hola to you.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
You know what? The truth of the matter is, The Giants have done everything they can to put themselves in position to win most of these games, Howard. It's more the execution that is that has done them in than anything else.
We've had clock issues. We've had dropped interceptions, several dropped interceptions.
Several.
We've had players not catching the ball. We've had the unwilling or unwanted penalty that happens.
Face mask at the end of the Saints game?
We've had a few things that there was a punter. I can't really fault the punter.
I know, but talk about fluky things.
Well, you can look it up. If a kicker makes a tackle,
it's a face mask.
It's a face mask. I don't know why that is.
You're one of those guys who believes kickers and punters aren't football
players.
It's
not
that,
right? If you see them get dressed, you see the other guys, they got straps and things. They're tying things on. Kicker puts his shoulder pads on, like, click, click. Like, oh, dude, if somebody breaks loose, you got to fend yourself. So it's pretty funny. So, yeah, they face mask just so they don't get hurt.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's go back to the phone calls. 201-939-4513. Louis from Sacramento, California. Sweet. You're next on the show.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Hi. Very good, Louis.
Appreciate you. Hey, I'm a big fan. Howard, I this is my first time actually getting on there, but I want to tell you, you've always been my number one tight end.
Oh, thank you very much. That's very,
very
nice
cool.
of you to say.
Now, what I want to say is, you know, it's funny. I love my Giants. I've been a Giants fan since birth, 48 years. And, you know, what's funny to me is we always go through this panic. People have short memories. I remember when we had no offense whatsoever and the defense was the only thing holding us up. And
yep.
I'm talking about that. That was for at least a 10-year stretch. But,
yep.
but the
Louis,
one thing that
there was a time,
I want to point out is
– Louis, I'm going to take it one further. Hold on, Louis. I'm going to take one further. If you remember the Giants of the late 70s, people used to say the punter Dave Jennings was the Giants' offense. Okay?
Right.
That's the way. That's how bad it was.
Exactly. And, you know, the backbone has always been the defense. And this year has been, you know, just it's been heartbreaking because – we don't have the pieces. I don't want to say it's the scheme because I love Spags, but I just don't think, you know, we got a lot of young players and the cohesiveness of the unit hasn't quite come together yet.
Nope.
But one thing, though, that we're really outstretched over is, you know, not only do we need to not talk so crazy about Coach Coughlin, I think we need to shower him with appreciation. When you look around the NFL, a lot of teams are going through the peril of lack of leadership. And the thing is, what Coughlin brings to the table over, I'd say, even a Bill Belichick, is the constant professionalism of his character. He is a true football coach.
Nice.
And the thing is he gives it to you like it is, and he expects the same of his players. When we're going through these losing streaks and things are not going right, it's because of Coach Coughlin that we actually see improvement and our players actually are trying and fighting their hearts out. I think a lot is being said, you know, as far as, like, you know, we should get rid, but the reality is, when you look around this league, the Giants are so fortunate. We're actually blessed to have a leader with the level of character. And so I just wanted to say that and put that out there, and then I'm going to get off the air. I love you guys. I love the show, and I love the Giants. Go Blue.
Louis, right. Thank you so much for calling in, and we appreciate you sticking with us during the program through the season. Thank you, and please call again. That was a fun call.
That was a nice call. It's kind of cool to hear people talk about the appreciation of the coach and what he believes that he's done and brought to the program. It's kind of like, I'll give you a great example, Les Miles. Les Miles down there in LSU,
yeah.
Calling for his head. We're going to get rid of him. Yeah, 10 wins every year.
There's one guy who
every
can't
year.
Beat.
Can't beat Saban. Someone said, well, somebody needs to take an account. No one can beat Saban.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, on the day that he's marching out, they're all showering him with love. And they're like, well, we can't let him go out like that. So it's very interesting how that goes. Very nice call, though. I'll definitely tell Coach Coughlin about that later.
All right, Derek from Atlanta. I was going to say Alabama.
No,
you got
no,
me
no.
thinking Saban.
Roll Tide, baby. Henry for the Heisman.
Yeah.
Henry for the Heisman.
I'll make a couple of comments, one general, one on the game, and then ask you a question. So the general question is, like, basically a comment is, if IBM, Coca-Cola, GE CEOs are probably some of the brightest people in the world. But if they lose stock for 3 or 4 years in a row, they're going to get fired. Mm-hmm. Okay? So it's not saying that they're not bright. It's not saying that they're not talented. It's not saying that they didn't do good for the team or for their company. Mm-hmm. But after a certain while, you know, you need to get laid off or fired if you're not performing a job. Okay. All right. The second comment is on the game. I believe that the Giants should have kicked the field goal because if you go, that's two touchdowns the other team would need. Let's say they go down and they score a touchdown, then the Giants have the opportunity to go back down the field and kick a field goal to go back up two more scores. So that would be 9 points. So it would be two more scores they would need. Let's say they get stopped. And then they get the ball back, and they go down and score a touchdown. They're up by 1 point. Well, then the Giants can get the ball back with the opportunity to win the game. So kicking that field goal would put the Giants in a lot of scenarios that would have been good for the team, okay. Even though, all right?
Okay. So let me ask you this. So okay. when the ball went down, the Jets scored, the Giants got the ball back. Did they score?
Okay, now here's
the thing.
Did
they move the ball?
Oh, wait.
Thing. You said they didn't trust their 4 minutes.
No. Wait.
They did score.
Wait a minute. Answer the question. You have to answer the question.
Okay, go ahead.
You have to answer
the
question. Here's the question. When the game, and the flow of the game, the way it went down, not speculating, we're not going to speculate, we're just going to talk about what happened. Jets go down and score. Great. That's awesome. Jets score. The Giants get the ball. What happens? They can't move the ball.
Okay, the question, that was a question to me, that they tried to move the ball in a four-minute offense and ran a ball twice, which you just admitted that they don't like their four-minute offense.
No, it's not they don't like it, it's that they couldn't move the ball.
Point.
No, their tackle was out. They just shuffled their line. They couldn't move the ball.
But you ran the ball twice, then. You ran the ball twice. And to me, you at least at that point, when they go down and score a touchdown, you don't go and then try to run the ball twice in a four-minute offense. You then, that's when the time to be aggressive, you try to go back down and kick
a field
goal.
So if the Giants throw the ball in that spot and stop the clock with an incompletion, you're going to throw daggers at the coach for throwing the ball, right?
No, because
no?
Let me tell you.
No, you won't?
Okay, we're not going to agree on
Derek,
that issue.
Derek,
because,
thank
but
you.
We're not going to agree on that, but I just got a question for you guys.
Go ahead.
Is there any room to blame the coaching staff, or is it 100% the players?
It's usually the execution of the game. When you put a game plan out and it's supposed to happen, you know, the coaches fall on the sword a lot, but we're responsible for executing the play.
100%. No blame on the coaches.
When I played personally, whatever you asked me to do, I took care of. It would be my shortcoming if it didn't happen. If I was supposed to run an 8 yard out,
there's no blaming or there's no liability in the coaching staff.
But that's the media. That's what you want to hear. If Coach Coughlin could truly affect the outcome of every game, we'd win every game. But
so
that would mean that, that that's just like
he,
that's
it
just like
you're taking the stance that coaching cannot lose you a game.
Coaching,
only the players can lose you a game.
What you're missing is this: when they dropped an interception late in the game, was that coaching? Answer the question.
My thing is not coaching, but
I'm
going to
go through all
100% of the game.
I'm going to go through all the questions. I'm going to ask you all these questions. I want you to answer.
But you don't answer mine.
I'm trying to answer yours.
He's trying.
What you have to understand is I'm watching plays. When the plays aren't executed properly, if Eli throws an interception, that's not coaching. That may be Eli throwing an interception. You got to remember that everybody's getting paid on the field. You're trying to make things happen in your favor. You call it. You try to execute it. Sometimes a guy's good on the other side. There may be a J.J. Watt standing over there. There may not be. So you have to understand that execution of what's being called is the player's responsibility. You can call the greatest game plan ever. If your tackle can't block, then you're lost. If your running back is not a great running back, you're lost. You think that Chip Kelly down there in Philadelphia thought that DeMarco Murray, giving him all that money, he's a GM and a head coach. You think that Chip Kelly, when he brought that guy in, he said, that guy's a guy. He can do it. That guy wants to run downhill. He can't do things right and left.
But that's not coaching. You know that you bring in a highest paid running back in the league. You paid him a boatload of money. You know he runs out of the eye set, but then every play you put him on the side of the quarterback.
In that case, it's a personnel decision because
That's not a coaching decision. That's a personnel decision.
That's a personnel decision. Now, Chip Kelly's taking that on his own shoulders. So
that's a coaching decision when you have the coaching is making up the offense. You know the guy can't run.
Listen,
that's how Adrian Peterson right now. You got him off.
Derek, thank you. He's not going to listen.
So listen, so let me help you out. I know you want to argue and you think you're making a point. Here's the point. DeMarco Murray is a great back. He's an eye back, like you're saying. But the back they had was Shady McCoy. Shady McCoy could do anything. And the reason why Shady McCoy was great was because usually someone came free. Personnel decisions. They traded their two offensive guards that were Pro Bowlers.
Well, they cut one of them because he wanted too much money.
Yeah, so you get rid of the two guys in the middle, and now somebody's coming free right up the middle at your guy constantly. That guy's got to be able to make a move in the backfield. That's not coaching. That's personnel.
That's also not DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, that's not anybody. It's not a lot of guys in the league, not just not DeMarco Murray. So it's not a coaching thing. And not that coaches don't make mistakes and cause problems. A lot of times it's the players. Players will even tell you that.
Fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports.
Let me ask you one question.
Free to play.
Let me ask you one more question.
Please.
How many tackles does Coach Copeland have on the year?
Last time I checked, there were none.
Exactly.
No interceptions either.
No sacks?
No.
Okay. No penalties either. Did he get a penalty?
No.
Okay.
No touchdowns.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Next question.
Richie from Long Island. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
No problem.
I just what I wanted to comment kind of was the piece on NFL Network the other night, the Jersey guys. That was a great piece on the Giants.
Yes.
Watch it.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. One of the fan on that show, well, on the episode, I commented that around like the 70s and 80s, you know, when the Giants were going through a hard losing streaks, you know, they just kept finding new ways to lose games.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that kind of, you know, went into play with what's happening this year. It just seems like, you know, they're finding new ways to lose or, you know, interesting ways to lose games instead of win games, you know. And yeah, it's something that just stuck out to me because, you know, it's what's happening right now. You know, almost every game is just, all right, they're going to lose by a field goal at the end, or he's going to throw an interception, and that's going to be a turning point in the game.
Well,
you know,
I think every year, even every week, players get older, their lives change, their bodies change. And I think that we don't, you know, take an account for that. The great thing about football is that it's a human-based game. There are errors. There are mistakes. There's great plays. There are great moments. Great example, Odell Beckham runs down the field. He stabs the ball with the hand and catches it.
Wow.
What a catch.
Wow.
Everybody's going nuts. Later in the game, long ball thrown down the field. He has two hands on it and he drops it. He catches that ball.
If you would have caught that, that would have been game right
That would have changed the game. But, again,
we're
talking about one of the best receivers in the league. May turn out to be the greatest receiver in Giants history, maybe in league history. But in that moment, when he needed a play, it didn't happen. So, again, the game's not – the humans aren't perfect. You know, it is what it is. And, I don't want to make excuses for anybody or anything like that. I don't want you to think it's an excuse thing. Sometimes you can't get it done.
Nope. Richie, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. One thing I will say, Howard, before we go back to the phones, when I was on NFL Network yesterday and they asked me about, well, what do you think that is going to happen in the NFC
Name drop.
East? Mm-hmm. No, I mean,
I'm joking.
And you know, my answer was, you've got three first-place teams at 5-7. The Giants have the five wins, and then they've also been razor-thin close in five of the seven losses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to subscribe to the theory that, okay, the Giants are under 500 and they've lost so many of these games, then logic tells you if the probabilities are falling that way, they're not going to win enough games to make it. But at the same time, if you use the same logic, the probability is they'll probably be in each one of these four games. And if a bounce there or bounce there goes the other way, this way, that way, who's to say that they won't win the three games or the four games that they need to become a playoff team? Look, this is not a two-win team that's gotten blown out 34-10 four different times this year, five different times this year. That's not what this team is. This team has been in virtually every game, even against the Patriots. So my take on that is, hey, you know what? If you want to go by just standard logic, that tells you the Giants are still alive.
Well, I got to leave, but I'm going to say this on the way out. I don't do logic. I do what I see. I think they are in every game. I don't want to be in every game. I want to be ahead in every game. And they're not by 10 points, by at least two touchdowns.
They've been ahead in a lot of those games,
yeah, but
too.
Once they get ahead by two touchdowns, then all this other stuff will work itself out. If you get ahead by 17 points, all of the stuff works out. And I'll say this. The last few quarterbacks outside of Cam Newton, they're not the same quality of guys that they're playing against and struggling. So that's what we're looking at. All right.
I'll see you in Miami on Monday.
I'll see you in Miami.
He's Howard Cross at HowardCross87. You can always hit him up on Twitter. We've got another 10 minutes to go here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. I'm going to fly solo. Steve from Ohio, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, Pete.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Good. Hey, last night I watched the Jets game on Rewind and was kind of in the dumps like a lot of the callers today. And I thought, well, let's see where we were at week 14 of 2011. So, and I started to watch it condensed, but it was messing up, so I watched the full broadcast. And about starting with pregame, and about every 5 minutes, it seemed like there was just this coincidence that lined up with this season. And I started remembering how I felt back in 2011 and how I was down on the team then. And I was just thinking the whole time I was watching this, I thought, man, I wish Coughlin would bring the whole team into the room to watch the whole game, the broadcast version, and it would be such a lift because by the end of the game, I was feeling really positive about this year. But I just wanted to go down a list of just a few things.
Let me just say this to you. After 12 games in 2011, the Giants were 6-6. They had just lost the heartbreaking game to Green Bay at home, 38-35. You remember that game, I'm sure, very, very well. And I know the Giants felt that one slipped away. Again, similar situation in that it was a gift. But they were 6-6 at that point. They went on to win three of their final four games to become the champions. Right, to become the NFC East champions. Is that in play right now mathematically? Well, they're one game behind that. They're 5-7, not 6-6, but I get your point.
Yeah, Eli had 3,700 yards, 24 TDs, 11 interceptions. Like you said, we were 1-2 in the division, last in rushing, almost last in rush defense, gave up the most points in the final 2 minutes of both halves. Manningham was dropping passes. Chris Collinsworth was ripping them the whole game. Will Beattie was out. Kenny Phillips was out. David Boss, our starting center, was out. Blackburn was fresh off the couch. And like I said, it was just, and I know, different offensive coordinator, different defensive coordinator, different year, different defenses. You know, I get that part. But just the lift that I got after I watched the game, I just was wishing that Giants Nation and like I said, the entire team and the entire organization would just watch that game and see that, you know, we were down in the dumps then, too.
Steve, the only thing I would say is the 2011 team, and I'm speaking kind of out of left field here because I haven't actually done the count, but I think the 2011 team had more Super Bowl experience on it than this team does. And that was probably part of also help those guys turn it on at the end and climb out of that hole. This team has very little jewelry in that locker room right now. And that does have something to do with the resiliency of the club. I'm not saying that these guys should be disrespected in any way, but there's less jewelry in this locker room.
Yeah, same coach, same quarterback.
That is true. That is true. And that's why, quite frankly, the Giants should be sitting here saying to themselves, why not us? Everybody's 5-7. Why not us?
Yep.
Somebody's got to win it.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
All right, Steve.
Thank you, P-Dot.
Thank you so much. 201-939-4513. Bob from Pennsylvania, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Hi, doing great. How are you?
Good. I just want to make make a statement, and I'm going to give you a prediction. You kind of led me right in there with saying somebody's got to win this thing. I travel like 5 hours to go to the games every week. I go to every game.
Okay.
I had this jerk in front of me who I really don't get along with well, and after, I was calling for them to go for it, and then he was jumped down my throat after it didn't work. But I have no faith that they would not have given up 2 touchdowns there in the end, so I don't think that was a bad decision.
I understand.
You're talking about somebody's got to win this thing, and this has been such an excruciating year that the only thing to salvage it and to not have Coughlin go out this way will be to win the division, and we'll get a home playoff game. And my prediction is they don't have to win 4 games to win this thing. I look at the schedule. Everybody's going to go to 10 losses between those other 3 teams. All you got to do is win 2, go to 7-9. As long as Buffalo, with McCoy coming back for revenge, wins that game in Philly, and the Giants, one of their 2 wins is against Philly, the last game of the year. 2 wins is all they got to do. Beat Miami and Philly. Look at the schedule of those 3 teams. They're going to get 10 losses.
Well, let me say this to you. I don't know how many people are taking into account. Philadelphia does have to play Washington, so one of those teams is automatically getting stuck with another loss.
Philly's going to beat Washington, but look at Washington's schedule. They play at the Bears. They're not going to win that game. They play the Bills. They're not going to win that game. And if they beat, I don't think they're going to win in Dallas either. But
so you're telling me that 8-8 is going to win the division, so the Giants have to win 3 out of 4?
7-9 is going to win.
7-9 is going to win the division.
Everybody else is going to go 6-10.
Wow.
Yep, write it down.
Well, Bob, I appreciate your viewpoint. I think there's a lot of people out there who probably feel as though this division's so bad that 7-9 would be justified and would make a lot of sense. Because,
well, who do you think between the other three teams is going to win 7 games?
I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest with you, if 2 of the teams wind up to be 8-8. I really wouldn't. And the question then becomes which 2 teams, and then what's the tiebreaker? Who gets the division based on that? I would not at all be surprised that happens.
Philly plays Buffalo, the Cardinals, and finishes with the Giants. So obviously, we're going to have to beat them. Washington is a phony. They play at the Bears, the Bills, and then they're on the road at the Eagles and the Cowboys. The Eagles will probably win that game. Dallas is going to lose 2 more games.
Bob, I'll tell you what.
They're not winning. They're not going 3-1. They're going to have 10 losses.
Here's what I want to tell you. I want to say this. If the Giants are going into that last game of the season against the Eagles here at MetLife Stadium, and if they're in a play-in-their-in scenario, I think as a Giants fan, you'd love to sign up for that right now. I know you're thinking it's going to get better than that. I know you're thinking it's going to be.
The problem is that we don't match up against the Eagles. Well, that'll be
the
killer.
I know.
We lose again to that stupid team.
You're thinking it's going to be easier than that, and I think that's wonderful. But I'm telling you, if you're a Giants fan and you've got a chance to be in a win and you're in scenario in week 17, I think after the way this season has gone,
right,
you'd have to be pretty satisfied with that.
That's what I'm counting on right now, is that last game is going to count.
I appreciate the call, Bob. Thank you so much. 201-939-4513. That'll do it for the phone calls. Remember, Big Blue Kickoff Live is here every Monday to Friday from noon Eastern time until 1 o'clock. We take your calls. We take your comments at hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We talk all things Big Blue. And, of course, the upcoming game Monday night against the Miami Dolphins. Going to be a good one down in Florida. Tomorrow, I believe it'll be, Dave, is it John Schmelk joining? No, it's going to be Schmelk and Jeff Fiegels tomorrow. That's right, Schmelk and Fiegels tomorrow. So maybe you guys can talk some special teams. Remember, Zach Diassi on injury reserve now with a wrist injury. Giants had to go get themselves Danny Aiken, a long snapper who formerly played for the New England Patriots. Till next time, I'm Paul Dottino. We'll see everybody.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Broken intercept.
basket. Touchdown, Giants!